All right, so we've been talking about the power of your tongue. And, you know, last week we talked about words that edify. And what is edification? And how is it that we can speak positively? And so I wanted to start off today with James chapter 3. Of course, that's our base scripture for all of this teaching. James 3, 1 through 12. But I wanted to look at verse 2 today. And it says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. And that word perfect man doesn't mean perfect, you never made a mistake. It means that you're completely developed and that you're mature. And think about it, you know, in the natural, you don't mature, you just don't wake up one morning and go, woohoo, I'm mature. It's a process, right? I mean, you don't just go, woo! So this is something that we work on and that we practice and that we progress in. So therefore, it leaves very little wiggle room for condemnation. Oh, you could condemn yourself. You could, you know, put yourself down, but God certainly isn't. He's excited and encouraging you as you grow and mature. And then Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. Let's take a quick look over there. My Bible just falls open to it now. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. And it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, last week we talked about how the tongue is the steering wheel of our life. Remember I talked about going off-roading and that it could lead to death? You want to stay on the path, you know? It's kind of important here. That's why you have a steering wheel, so that you can stay on the road, you know? And so, our words are the steering wheel that guides and directs us to where we're going. If you don't like the direction that you're going in, turn the wheel. You know, I heard this testimony of this guy who he'd been a smoker for years, and he came up for prayer, and he says, I don't know why I feel prompted of the Lord to come up here and pray, get prayer again for my smoking habit, you know, because I just can't quit, and I've tried patches, I've tried lozenges, I've tried going to the doctor and getting that Chantix stuff, and you know, I throw my cigarettes out, I'm going and buying cigarettes. I throw them out, I go and buy them. I pull off the side of the road, go back to where they were, and I go pick them back up again. You know, he's like, oh, I can't quit. And the pastor said, if you say so. And he says, here, let me set you on a whole different path. He says, every time you pick up a cigarette, you buy a pack of cigarettes. You pull one out of the pack. Every time you make a move to smoke, he says, just go ahead and smoke, but just say, Lord, I thank you that I no longer smoke cigarettes. Lord, I thank you that I've been set free of smoking cigarettes. And he'd be puffing along, and he's going, man, this is so dumb, but Lord, I thank you that I've been set free of smoking cigarettes. And he just kept that up and kept that up. He'd pull them out of his shirt pocket at the end of the day and put them on his nightstand and say, Lord, I thank you that I've been set free of smoking cigarettes. And one day he's out there smoking, and he said that, and he goes, it hit him. He said, I've been set free of smoking cigarettes. He threw that thing down, and he never picked up a cigarette again. He came to church a few weeks later, and he's just beaming. And this pastor was like going, that's awesome. And he goes, Pastor, I can't wait to tell you. And he goes, You don't need to tell me, he says, the look on your face says it all. And he says, I quit smoking. By the words of his mouth, he changed from I can't stop to I thank you, Lord, that you've set me free from smoking cigarettes. And he was set free. It's the fruit of your lips that you're going to eat. Life or death. I can't, or I thank you, God, that you've set me free. You know, let's look at Romans chapter 4. And starting in verse 16, it says, Romans 4, 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. My message today is entitled, The Power of Be. It's a two-letter word, and we don't think about it much. But there's a lot of power in the word be. And you know, it says here that God taught Abraham how to call those things that be not as though they were. You know, he started Abraham out with Genesis 15:5. Look at the stars up in the sky, if you can count them. So shall your descendants be. And then he said in Genesis 22:17-18, look at the sand in the desert. That's how big, that's how many descendants you're going to have. So all day long, every time he went into the tent and cleaned his feet off and got his sandals all cleaned off, he was grinding that sand off and going, this is how many descendants I'm going to have. Lord. But you notice, it took 25 years of that and still no child. It wasn't until God changed Abraham's name and Abraham, part of his name is Abraham, is God. And putting the two words together means a father of many nations. Everybody started calling him that. And he had a son 10 months later. Isn't that awesome? In Genesis 22:17-18, he's actually talking to Isaac here. And he said, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Are you beginning to see the power of be here? Think about it. Satan in this world system has taught us to say negative things, evil things, condemning things. It comes out of our old nature pretty darn easy. You know, have you ever noticed that when you like take a hammer and you go wham, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Woo! Wow, I didn't know that was in there. Ouch. But God calls you to speak life and increase. The Lord kind of gave me this picture. Your words are the dipstick that tells what you've been involved with. Have you been involved with the word and your relationship with God? Or have you been involved with the world and your relationship with it? Some of us may need an oil change. So it's time for us to wake up and get a hold of our mouths and start talking victory and freedom and life. God did it. Abraham did it. There were many throughout the Bible. I mean, I was telling Andy, I said, man, I don't even know how to pare this down into something, you know, that's simple and that I could do in 1 week. But you know what? We can do it too. God created us as speaking spirits, just like he is. Let's look at Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified because I'm a woman and I like it. So Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and returns not there again, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Look at verse 11 again. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." He commanded it to be something. You know, God does not just express thoughts and feelings, but he sends his word out there to work and accomplish something. And he created us to be in his likeness and in his image. Therefore, we have the ability to choose our words carefully and then send them out to accomplish a purpose or a task that's in God's plan. I thought I missed something. I guess not. Here's some examples. Let's look at Psalms 33, verse 6. Says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And that fear is to reverence him, not be afraid of him and cower. "For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." You know, think about it. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Now notice, he hadn't said anything yet. He didn't say, wow, man, it's really dark. Ooh, look at this void. Man, just look at that. It's pretty dark out here. There ain't nothing here. Look at that. That would be us, right? But the Holy Spirit was just hovering, waiting for the command. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. I've heard somebody say that God said, light be. And light was. He believed what he created with his mouth to come from nothing into something. He had it all in his heart. He had it all worked out. And he said, light be. Firmament be. Waters be. Land be. Animals be. Plants be. And he put seed in them when he spoke that be, so that they could reproduce after its own, after each and every item's own kind. He made us speaking spirits. Let's go over Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, a speaking spirit. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all things, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful. Be blessed. That's who God is. You know, God made us human beings, not human doings. Therefore, he gave us the authority to call those things that be not as though they be. Now, you may say, I can't be like God. I can't be like Jesus. But he created you to be that way and no other. Jesus operated this way, and you may be surprised at how many scriptures there are. I'm going to only give you a few. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. And this is where Jesus cleanses the leper. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched the man, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:13. Here is where Jesus heals the centurion's servant. And in verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that very hour. Now think about it. The centurion said that I'm a man of authority, and I understand that when I tell my servant, go, he goes, and when I tell him to come, he comes. he understood the authority that Jesus was functioning in. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. So therefore, we have that authority. Is that not true? We should be speaking like this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. This is where the two blind men were healed. Well, let's go ahead and start in verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But of course, when they departed, they spread the news abroad in all of that country. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Starting in verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, he took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep, on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" What did Jesus say? "Let us cross over to the other side." He didn't say go halfway across and let's sink. Let's drown. He said, "Let us go over to the other side." Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Mark chapter 7. Verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis and the Sea of Galilee. And they brought him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. He took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, and he sighed, and he said to him, well, whatever that word is, that is, "Be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. I guess if he wanted to spit on my tongue so I could speak, I guess that'd be okay, but still I'm going. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well, and he makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." These are things that we should be doing. It's who we be. Let's look at Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew 18. Verse 18. This is red letter. So this is Jesus talking. I mean, this is who he is. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Be is a really important word. Matthew 21. Now this is the lesson of the withered fig tree, starting in verse 20. And it says, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did this fig tree wither away so soon? So soon. Listen to verse 21 and 22 in the Amplified. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, a firm, relying trust, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing it, you will receive it. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Yeah, I do like it better in the Amplified. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Whoever says he abides in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. Notice that word he is capital, that's Jesus. Let me read it again. Whoever says that he abides in him, Jesus, ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. You know, I find it interesting that in all of these places, you know, Jesus never assumed anything. He always asked people, what is it you want me to do for you? You know, a lot of times we'll go, crutches, something's wrong with their leg or foot, needs to be healed, you know, and you're processing all of this. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't assume. Just because somebody was blind, he didn't assume that they wanted to be healed of, have their eyes healed. He always asked, what is it that you want me to do for you? We need to be that way. You know, so many times we want to create our own world, but that's not the direction that that person's wanting to go in. But we keep trying to, let's bring you back to my way of thinking. Let's, you know, and somebody who could be in a wheelchair and what they want is a financial blessing. But we don't take the time to ask that. We just go, oh, bless God, they want to get out of that wheelchair. Not necessarily so. We need to stop presuming that we know things and allow God to meet them where they're at. And just be that conduit. Be that conduit. Just be the conduit that God has asked you to be. Let's look at Luke 17, 5 and 6. I love that Jesus never presumed anything. He always asked, what is it that you want me to do? Okay, yeah, Amplified is better. Okay. We're all amplified today. What can I say? It says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith, that trust and confidence that springs from our belief in God. And the Lord answered, if you have faith, trust, and confidence in God, even so small like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus lived a life full of this. He didn't say anything that the Father didn't tell him to say. He didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. And we just kind of flippantly roll through life and try to create our own realm of what we want. But God has a plan for each one of us. And we need to be all in that plan. You know, with it being Christmas time and everything, let me just take you someplace else. Luke chapter 1. Let me see, where is this exactly? Luke 1. Pretty close. Let's start in verse 30. You know, this is the angel coming and announcing that she's going to have a child and she's a virgin. And the angel said to her in verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Listen to that. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived, and the son, and she will have a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. At that moment in time, she conceived Jesus. She said, let it be done to me. That's when the seed was implanted in her. Isn't that awesome? This is all throughout the word. Two letters, be. It's all over the word. And you know, in the end, Jesus emptied himself of all privileges and rights so that we could be speaking spirits. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And yes, it's just good. Gooder in the Amplified. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which makes God God, did not think that this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and he humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he has stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that in at the name of Jesus every knee must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the firstborn of many brethren. He emptied himself so that we could with authority say, be healed, be well, be blessed, be whole, be full. Have all of your needs met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I really think that if we can get this into our thought processes, that we'll be less likely to just blurt things out, flippantly express emotions and feelings that are not truth and are not in line with the Word of God. That we'll start taking seriously the creative words and the creative ability that God has given us as speaking spirits, to call those things that be not as though they were, and to change the world around us. It's time that we change the world around us. God isn't dead. He is a speaking spirit. The authority that he has on this earth is through you and I. It's our own personal debt that we act as Jesus acted, for what Jesus did in emptying himself so that we could be speaking spirits. You know, Jesus believed the words that he spoke. He didn't just flippantly, out of his emotions, speak and just comment on things. To control over himself. It is a fruit of the Spirit to have self-control. We can do this if we take it serious. We need to have the same confidence and believe that what we speak will come to pass, just like what Jesus spoke came to pass. Think about it. It took over 4,000 years of prophets speaking the birth of Jesus for it to come to pass. And it was as easy as the Virgin Mary saying, be it unto me according to your word. And she conceived. We need to start being conscious and be able to stop and measure our words to the word. You can't do this if the word's not in you. If you're not spending time in the word, you're going to slip and falter and say things that aren't truth. So it all comes back to that choice of having that intimate relationship with God, having that intercourse with him, spending that time with, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? Prepare my heart for who I'm going to encounter today, and let it be unto me as you have planned. We're only a conduit. But Jesus was only a conduit, wasn't he? He was a conduit of God the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's how we need to be. If you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. God values us that much. And he's created us so individually, intricately different. And every plan is different so that we can reach out and touch everyone that is in the world around us. It's the way he designed us to be. So let's be that. Let's stop having our own agenda for our family and our friends. Let's just be willing to do what God wants done. Stop trying to plan everything that you're going to say and do, you know, to give them the little... Isn't that true? Don't we do that? We do that to our children. We do that to people around us just to give them that little... Because I'm more spiritual than you are. And that's not what God's called us to be. You know, Jesus, out of love, humbled himself. And trust me, don't you think that the Holy Spirit told him what he was supposed to do? Think about it. Remember when I was talking about the woman who was caught in adultery and they took her before him? Jesus didn't know what to say in his flesh. He could have, the law is true. And Jesus came to fulfill the law. And a woman caught in adultery should have been stoned. But yet he knew that wasn't Father God's heart. So what do I say? So he stooped down and he wrote in the ground. And don't you know he's praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit. He says, Lord, what is it that you want me to say? Father, I don't know what to say. I'm caught. I've been cornered. What is it that I say? And he came up with, whoever's without sin, you cast the first stone. And he went right back down to writing in the dirt. He was like, whoo, head low. You know, let's preserve my life here. No. He already knew what was going to happen. But isn't it awesome that he listened to the Holy Spirit? Because he was so intent in answering properly. We need to be that same way. Don't be so quick to say something. Let's look at James real quick again. And I'm going to close it with this. Oops. James chapter 1. Verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If we'll just slow down and listen. You know, life is constantly moving at Mach 90 with your hair on fire. We have so much information pushed and shoved at us all the time. From all different kinds of avenues and directions. But if we'll be swift to hear and not so quick to speak, we're going to go a lot farther than if we just flip something out of our mouth that isn't what God wants us to say. That is no help. It's non-productive, useless. Or just flat out brings death to the situation. We need to seriously ask the Lord to help us just not speak so quickly. Because we want to produce the righteousness of God. that's all I'm going to say. So, you know, we're all human beings. And we get too busy doing, especially this time of the year. So I just want to encourage you to just be still before the Lord. And just listen to Him. We're going to be way, way better off, much farther ahead when we do that. Now, of course, you can't have this if you don't have a relationship with God. And all that is confessing Him that He is Lord of your life and that He was raised from the dead. Again, it's speaking. It's confessing Him as Lord. It's as easy as that. So if you haven't done that, you need to do that. And of course, the next step is you can't live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It is just flat impossible. I tried it. It doesn't work real well. But I'll tell you what, you know, when the Holy Spirit endues you with power and gives you your own prayer language that edifies you and builds you up and tells you things to come, speaks good things into your life, it starts flowing out of you and you can't help yourself. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's so vitally important. If we're going to truly make an impact on people, we need that vital connection. You know, when Jesus came up out of the water, when He was baptized with water by John the Baptist, notice how the dove came and landed on Him? That was the Holy Spirit. And He spent 40 days not eating a darn thing, and just praying in tongues, having the Holy Spirit lay out His ministry, preparing Him. You just can't. If Jesus couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit, what makes you think you can? So if you need to get born again, or you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you just have sickness, disease, or just tired of something in your body and you need prayer, I just want you guys to come up here and we'll pray for you. All right. So now we're all going to go out from here. Well, hopefully you'll be here Christmas Eve. But we're going to all go out from here and spend some time with our families. And I just encourage you that as you do that, you spend time with family and friends, that you bless them, that you speak good things over them, positive things, loving things. So let's just pray and we'll close this thing out. So, Father, I just thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You that it became flesh and that it died for us on the cross. I thank You so much for Jesus and the finished work that He's provided for us. Father, I just thank You that You're opening our eyes. You're taking blinders off of our eyes and You're helping us to see all of what Jesus came to bring us and to allow us to be a part of. And so, Lord, it's not about us anymore, but it's about us just emptying ourselves to just be that conduit for You. And Father, I personally speak for myself, be it unto me as Your word has said. Be it unto me that I fulfill the plan that You have for my life. And I just encourage everyone here to say, Lord, be it unto me as You have planned for my life. I yield to that. I openly announce that I am willing to yield myself to be what it is that You've planned for me to be. And Father, we thank You for that. And I thank you for this coming year, that as we come to that knowledge and understanding of who we be and that we be together, that we'll move forward as a mighty force and just start impacting the communities and the cultures around us. No matter where we go or who we're involved with, that we would be an impact for you in people's lives. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.